Hey everyone, thanks for joining us today and welcome to session number 15 of Ask Mark. I know, but we spread them out. So we started this series as a way to help people learn more about service design, about journey mapping, and about journey mapping software. Our co-founder and CEO, Mark Sickdorn, here with me today. And myself and others from our team here at Smaply share our experiences with you about how to embed and scale service design in your organization. So what we usually do is start off with a short introduction to the focus topic, just to get everyone on the same page. And then we'll take any questions that you have. We have some questions that people sent in advance that we'll answer as well. And let's get started. I'll introduce you to Mark.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mark, co-founder, CEO of Modern Matrix, the company behind Smaply, the journey mapping tool. And this is our little webinar.
My name is Nicole. I help Modern Matrix with customer success and sales and understanding service design in North America. And I'm also a service design consultant in government. So I'm doing this work for about 10 years and I love it.
Nicole, how's it going to work?
How this is going to work is you are going to share some slides with everyone, I believe. You've got a little primer about managing cross-channel or omni-channel experiences. So we're really going to talk a lot about that. So going beyond digital, talking about how you can research experiences that go not just beyond digital as a channel, but also beyond digital analytics and sort of that quantitative data. And we're going to talk a lot about why that qualitative layer is so important to understanding and managing your experiences, whether they are online or offline. So we're going to answer a whole bunch of questions about sort of that topic area.
I prepared a few slides, not too much, and I'm going to focus just on a few bits and pieces there. And actually, I already going to answer two of the questions that we received upfront already with this introduction. I would like to first talk a little bit about how you can visualize customer experience if it is a cross-channel experience. So if you think of a journey map, for example, it usually shows like one experience, but it's up to you to add more data to it. And what you see in this example is different lanes. You have a storyboard on top, then the emotional journey, and then you have a channel lane, a channel overview. And a channel lane looks like a swim lane map, like from above, where you see which channels are involved. You can use it for two different purposes. On the one hand, you can use it as an overview to get an idea what are the channels that we have available as an organization to get in touch with customers in general. But you can also highlight the preference. If you, for example, have one particular persona, you can visualize what are the preferences for each step of the journey. So you can also see where does the experience cross the channels and so on. Then, if you combine a channel lane with a text lane below, you can add further information regarding this channel to it. You can either add it directly to the channel lane, or you can think about adding pain points and channel specific pain points. So perhaps you can compare the experience from one channel to another, or you can detail out what kind of channel we have specifically. Is it like a one-way communication or a two-way communication? You can add information regarding what if, so what can possibly go wrong. Also, that can be channel specific. And of course, a whole bunch of research data, but we're going to talk more about that later, that you can also add channel specific to it. So if you do this, how can you use a tool like a journey map to compare different experiences if they are cross-channel? So you can add multiple journeys on one journey map. Like in this example, a simple example about the airline, our standard example that we use, you can show how the experience differs if people use different channels. For example, if someone uses a check-in on his mobile phone compared with a check-in on the website, compared with a check-in at the airport, different journeys. They might be the same before and afterwards, but in some areas, when you choose different channels, they might differ. And you can learn then from there what works well in one channel, what doesn't work in another, and perhaps you get some ideas from the good examples there. Also here, think about adding real customer data to it, real proper research that you've done. Usually we do research channel specific. However, there are a few research methods that you can use that also work across channels. So think about any kind of self-documentation research about mobile ethnography, for example, or diary studies, or shadowing, where you follow customers throughout their experience. These kind of research approaches help you to understand where do people cross channels and why, because it's really hard to understand why, what drives people to move to another channel at a certain point. Also think about adding quantitative data, a question we might come to later, because I saw that there was some interest in these kind of questions. Should you use qualitative or quantitative data? Both, of course. And especially if we use or if we want to understand the cross-channel experience, it's important to compare the experience and compare the performance of the different channels as well. You can add multiple journeys to a journey, to a journey map. And in an earlier session, we already talked about this repository of maps that you can do and journey map operations to operationalize the whole repository, to add live data to it and so on. And you can also add a layer of channels there. So you can filter for channels. Think about adding tags, for example. You can look for channel specific pain points and stuff like that. What you can also do is define per channel, what is the vision experience? Where do you want to go? What is the future state experience where you're designing towards? And what is the current state experience? And also that works brilliant on one channel, but it's important to understand where do we want to nudge people into a different channel? So if your numbers tell you that the experience is better on a particular channel, you can think and start to plan ahead. How can we nudge people towards that channel if you know that the experience is better there? The last thing of my intro, and that I'm done, I know I always take too much time for my intros, is the difference between experience-centered journeys and product-centered journeys. And this is particularly of interest if you think about cross-channel experiences. So here is one of those cross-channel experiences. It's the experience of a customer at an airport. Now, the check-in is done on a mobile phone, and perhaps there are other steps where they check the website on the phone in between, and they have maybe printed documents. If they put in your bags, if you check in your bags, you get like a baggage receipt and stuff like that. Now, if you look at this experience through the perspective of an airline, and you only to think those steps that I have under control, those channels that I have under control, you see a very fragmented picture, which might look like this. So you might be in control of the check-in, no matter which channel it happens. If you have a launch, you might be under control of that, and then everything from the flight onwards. But you think like, oh, the rest, that's out of scope. I can't influence it. I can't design it. It's out of control. I don't need to include it in my journey maps, but definitely you need to, because it's driving the entire experience. And even if you don't have it under control, you can check the steps before it. How can I reach customers? How can I prepare them for a certain experience? Because you can still influence these steps. I would like to tell you a quick story about this. And that's why it's important to know for each steps on which channel can these occur. There was an airport which had a problem with their security checks. No, it's not just one airport in the world, you know, surprise, right? But in this particular airport, at one terminal, people consistently missed their flights because of the queues at the airport. The infrastructure was just overloaded. They couldn't keep up anymore. So people stood in line for too long, causing a lot of stress for the passengers and of course, as a result, a lot of stress for the employees as well, for everyone involved there. Well, if you look at that perspective from an airline, you say, well, the security check, that's out of scope. I can't change it, right? It's a fault of the airport. And what happens very often is the blame game. And you say, oh, it's that stakeholder, or it's the other department, or it's the other company which is responsible for this. But what they did and then is they looked at their different channels and how they can reach customers and how they might be able to influence the experience. And what they did is, during the check-in on all channels, they informed the customer about the high traffic in this terminal and suggested to walk to another terminal, which is quite a walk. It was like a 15-minute walk to go to the other terminal, but there were basically no queues. So they had to walk 15 minutes to the terminal. They could enter basically without a queue, and they needed to walk back. So they made their flights. So even if they couldn't influence it directly, by understanding on which channels can we reach our customers up front, how can we bring an information across for them that might help them influence this step, even if it is outside of our range? And that's why it's important to understand the entire experience and not only your own touch points, if you like to say. And that's it. Oh no, I added an example. Sorry. Gosh, now really quick. Sorry. I just want to show you how it looks like in a real project. That's a project like 10 years ago that we did. It was a project in tourism, but it doesn't really matter. But here you see a channel lane with the different channels per step. And what we've done there were two different zoom levels. You have the high level map with the channel overview. And now you can zoom in not only on one particular step, but on one particular channel on a step. What we've done then were zoom in maps for the particular experience on one channel. And then we compared the experience on the different channels. In this case was the booking process. We compared online versus booking by telephone versus booking in shops. And with a map like that, you get an overview and then you can zoom in, and there are different things you can do. Like on the overview map, you usually don't have personas, but in the zoom in map, you then get even more granularity when you compare the experience of different personas, perhaps with different channel preferences and preferences where they switched. And now I shut up because that was way too long. Sorry for that. Nicole.
It's great. You made me think about, this is completely off topic, but I'm sharing because it's lovely. At the Calgary Airport in Canada, when it gets insane behind the gates because of delayed flights, they call in the people with the emotional support dogs, and it calms everyone down and everyone gets doggy snuggles before they get on their plane. So very innovative solution to a nasty problem. Okay. I'd kind of like to share a bit of a story about some work I did in this space as well that might be valuable.
Go for it.
Okay. So I did a project quite early in my service design career where the organization, very much a marketing-led organization, they had tons of data. They had tons of market research. They had lots of customer understanding from a demographic point of view. And they had this really reactive UX team. So they had a UX team whose job was to simply put into place what they were told to do. And they weren't really able to be strategic. And then they were asked to figure out how they could leverage the digital channel to bring together all of their other siloed channels. And all of a sudden they were sitting in strategy land, bringing everyone together, and that brought in to help them out. And it was really fascinating to talk to people about, like what Mark was saying, that whole experience. And what we were able to understand was how people's behaviors at different moments in time, depending on what's going on in their lives, drives them to use different channels. The most interesting thing that came out of that work was a realization that they had built their digital channel to serve a very specific customer type. And the challenges with that channel were actually driving that whole group of users to one of their offline channels and attracting people to their online channels that they preferred to use their offline channels. And they wouldn't have really figured that out if it weren't for looking at it all as a holistic end-to-end experience. So understanding from a human point of view, when do you use one versus the other? What's happening for you? What value are you getting out of them? And it was incredibly powerful. It really led to an entire culture shift to starting to use behavioral persona qualitative data on top of all that marketing data.
Nice, thank you.
But I have two questions that I can see, so why don't we start there?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so Francis is asking us, what are examples of offline channels that are worth a closer look? Mm-mm-mm. Right.
Well, you just told us a story. Can you make it concrete? What were the channels you looked at in this process? And perhaps we can combine it with the next question as well. And how did you then gather information about these channels, especially the offline channels?
Sure. So I'll say that they had a digital channel and then they had bricks and mortar. So very much things existed in the real world, but in really different ways. So they had things, they had channels that existed in convenience stores and gas stations. They had kiosks in malls. They had their own properties that offered different services. So probably about four different bricks and mortar channels that offered really different things. And it was interesting because a lot of the same people would use those different channels, but for different reasons. And so it was understanding how they linked together for people that was really insightful. So how we gathered information about those offline experiences, a lot of those ways that Mark suggested. So we went to malls and did intercepts. Literally, can we have 10 minutes of your time? We'll give you a $20 bill, sat on a bench and had a chat. Really, really easy stuff. We recruited online to talk to people who frequented some of these like convenience store types channels where people are in and out and the intercepts are a bit harder because people are in a rush. We did telephone interviews with those people because there were a lot of them. I think we did about 75 of them. And then for these bigger properties, we did intercepts as well, but we went and spent the whole day at these properties and just talked to people. We spent more time with them. People at those properties were generally there for a longer period of time, so they were willing to give us more time so we could go a lot deeper with them and have them show us what they were doing, talk about their lives. And then we also recruited people and went and visited them in their homes and did face-to-face interviews with them there. And that's where we were able to talk about how they use the online channel and how that interacts with other channels that are available to them.
Nice. It's one thing that companies sometimes are not even aware about of all the channels they're offering, because sometimes it's the customers driving like receiving information through maybe a third party, or maybe not directly but indirectly, and they're not aware of it. And I would like to share a story, and I'm going to answer one of the questions that we received upfront with that. The question we received was, why should I care about the time that people spend elsewhere than my own pages? So I think focusing on online here, and not only optimize that. So not only optimize the online channel. Well, I was working once with a manufacturer of, let's say, saunas. It's not really a sauna, but something similar. And they were selling the stuff in their own shops, and they had and like construction stores and online, of course, and trade shows and all these traditional sales channels. And that's what I thought. On top of that, communication channels like ads, print ads, TV ads, and so on. They were pretty good at measuring the channels they had under control and they were using, although they didn't think much about how people cross channels and so on. But when we started working with them, when we started to do research, we realized that once we started mapping the journey and adding the layer of channels to it, that there was a consistent pattern among the buyers. And every interview, they told us like, oh yeah, we got first contact when we tried it out in a hotel. And it was always just a side sentence until we realized that one of their customers were hotels and hotel chains, so who use their product. But they never thought that this is actually one of the biggest multipliers they have when hotel guests use the product there. And through this product, they got interested in that. And only then they got actually in touch with them. So the journey was longer than they thought. They thought like they might have come through our advertisements on, but once they were in the shop or once they bought online, they didn't think about where they actually came from. So if you extend the journey and try to understand what happens outside of my channels, it also helps you to optimize the channels you have. Because then you can place, of course, messages there. You can partner with them. In the end, they added a little brochures there and so on, nudging people to move to the online channel to learn more. And because they were aware of this, they then proactively also announced this, because they said, go to these hotels and try out our products. So again, nudging people to different channels for different purposes, in this case, to simply try out their products. To what degree do I need to collect data for channel performance before I can start mapping? Ha! What will you say?
I have a one-word answer.
Yeah,
go I for say it. None. Yeah. I say none. So many organizations have no data when they start doing this work.
Journey mapping is a great way to, well, become aware of the gaps in data that you have as well. And you might start like assumption-based and say, well, we think this is experience, but you need to validate it because we can't take decisions on assumption-based journey maps, right? So it's a great starting point to start collecting data and start thinking about how can we collect data regarding this step and that step. Also, you can use it to create an inventory, because even if you say we don't have any data, I bet you have data. The thing is that you're not aware of it, because it's somewhere in another place in the organization. And a journey map acts as a great boundary object, helping you to connect all the different pieces and visualize what you got. All right.
For sure.
Any more questions? We can take one of the questions we received up front, if you like.
Absolutely. What are some KPIs of offline experiences that might be relevant while we're on the topic of KPIs?
Well, on the one hand, you can use similar KPIs like we use in online settings, right? One of the core things we do online is stuff like a conversion analysis, right? And what a conversion analysis is, your conversion funnel, it just means you track how many people make it from one step to the next step of the journey to the next step of journey and so on. And it's pretty easy to do this online nowadays, but basically you can do the same thing offline. You can keep track like how many people actually enter your store. If it's rather B2B contacts, like how many contacts you had at a trade fair, and think about the next step of the journey. So you can rebuild this, and by that you can also compare the performance of different channels. Experience KPIs work the same thing online as offline. I'm not going to get into a rant about Net Promoter Score, but you can ask similar questions about the experience, no matter which channel you do it. And, I mean, we see it, unfortunately, increasingly like in bathrooms where you have the little smiley buttons. I still don't know who presses these buttons in bathrooms and public toilets, but it is one way to get this kind of feedback in public spaces, right? We see that at checkout desks and so on. So there are loads of ways to actually get to this data. You press them?
I press them.
There
and
you
now
go.
I'm thinking about how gross that is.
Well, depends when you wash your hands, I guess. Yeah.
What should I focus on when creating personas for my digital channel map? And I would expand the question to be any channel map, really. I think that there's a lot of things you can focus on when creating personas. I find in most of the work that I've done, I always tend to gravitate towards I'll often call personas behavioral archetypes. So the key thing that's marking the difference in the persona is the behavioral mindset of the individuals. That seems to be a big qualitative feature that stands out in research that is definitely or a lot less likely to be captured by market research and data. So those behaviors and attitudes are, I think, one of the most critical things to look at for building out personas and differentiating personas from each other.
Great. I would add behavior patterns when it comes to channel preferences, channel usage, and specifically channel preferences in context. If people are at home, they have different, they use different channels. Like if I'm at home and I want to find out information about a certain company, I probably get at my desk where I have my big screen and type it in there and go online there. If I'm on the go, I might do it on my phone. If I'm commuting, I might be standing in a bus or subway and doing this. So the context is really important. And if you think of the different contexts, it also means when do you send certain messages, right? Like if you're aware of this and you know that conversion is better when people look at it on a big iPad or your big screen computer at home, then don't send the message during the work week in work times when people are probably just checking lunch break on their mobile phone. Stuff like that.
Thank you everyone for joining us. If you've got any requests for other topics, you can send us at mail@smapley.com or pop them in the chat before you leave. And thanks for joining us.
Fantastic. Thanks, Nicole, for hosting me.
Thanks, Mark. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone. Bye. Thanks for joining.